Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father today. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and we praise you and thank you because you are the King of the universe. You're our Lord and our God. We want to thank you for the mighty word of the living God. Thank you for these words that you wrote in this book that tell us about the spiritual realm that's around us. So we will begin to understand as we understand the word of God. As you reveal it to us, we will understand life and death and how it all works together. Lord, we praise you and thank you and worship you now for this mighty day. And may you reveal the word to us as it goes out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week I talked pretty intently about strongholds and things in our lives and a lot about how the evil spirits work in our life. And the reason I talk about this is because until you know your enemy, until you learn who your enemy is and what you can do to your enemy and how to defeat your enemy, you, as a born-again Christian, will go through life living a very defeated life. Because one of the things I'm going to guarantee you, when you come from being a little lost lamb, like Jesus said, we're lost sheep. When we come into the kingdom of God and get saved again, or get saved, we may never in our life understand spiritual warfare. You may never know at this point you are supposed to become a trained warrior. But I'm going to tell you, the devil knows that. And he's going to send enemies against you, and he's going to do everything he can to kill, steal, and to destroy from you. And he does a pretty good job at what he does with most people. But now then, we need to learn a little about this enemy. So I'm going to share with you a scripture. Now, this is in Matthew chapter 12, and it starts in verse 43. Now, there's a lot of things we can learn about our enemy, Satan and his demons, in this scriptures. It says, when the unclean spirit, now the Lord is talking here and he's talking about a demon, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Now think about what he said right there. An unclean spirit, when it goes out of a man, it walks through dry places. So evil spirits or demons are earthbound and they walk. So he said, they walk through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he says in verse 44, then he saith, now this is the evil spirit that's talking, then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Now, this is something that people that get into the deliverance ministry need to know. You need to be very cautious about how you go about casting out a demon out of someone. Because, first of all, look what the Word of God says that that demon, that unclean spirit, look what he's doing when he comes out. Then he says, I will return unto my house. So what does he call your body? His house. His dwelling place is your physical body. He said, then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. In other words, you have failed after a demon was cast out of you. And I think more church members have demons than do not. And I know that for a fact. But if you have a demon and you do learn these things and you do drive him out, you better spend time every day learning God's word. You better ask the Father in the name of Jesus to fill you every morning with his mighty Holy Spirit so he can use you mightily for the kingdom of God. But whenever the spirit is cast out, if the person is not willing to bring themselves humbly before the Lord and study God's word, they come into a very, very dangerous situation because it says that this demon will come back. Now, this is a great blessing that I learned whenever I've cast an evil spirit out of many people with sickness and disease. I've always told them The enemy will almost always try to come back. He's trying to come back to get you to doubt that God's word worked. And with most of us, he has absolutely no problem. But if you'll train people in advance, then whenever the evil spirit comes back and tries to put symptoms upon them, they will not receive it. Like, for instance, if you've got somebody that's sick and afflicted, and you cast a demon out of them and lay hands on them for healing, like the Word of God clearly says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18, Jesus clearly said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe," in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. They in my name, the name of Jesus, shall drive out demons, devils. So we shall be able to cast out demons. Then he says, you will speak in new tongues. And then he says, you shall, if you drink anything deadly, it will not harm you at all. So there is a promise. Everybody needs to learn that if you begin to get seasick, well, that would be okay, I guess. But sick of any kind, sickness of any kind tries to come upon you, you take the name of Jesus and call to the enemy that he has no legal claim to your body because you have repented of all your sins, and you have, since you have your sins repented and refreshed, you're back at Abraham's place asking God to heal you and restore you, and just continue to rebuke the enemy and don't let him do these things to you. But the average person does not know these things. So when they begin to learn these things and learn that there are satanic strongholds over countries and over different communities, and there are satanic strongholds which influence churches and individuals. You know, when you learn these things, that there is satanic strongholds behind almost everything that goes on that bad, even in the church. And whenever a stronghold exists, for whatever reason it is absolutely demonically induced. And it is a pattern of thinking. Now, specifically, the devil, he works on your man. The battleground is your man. And so, therefore, your man is his house. He goes back into your house, which is your man, and he attacks your thought pattern. So, as he attacks your thought pattern, it has become, if you yield to him and those thoughts, your mind, yourself, your physical body, has become a dwelling place for satanic activity. Now, so many times when the devil comes to us and begins to test us, tempt us with sin, so many of us fall to those sins. And when we begin to entice him to come in, when we begin to entertain those thoughts that he brings to us, then it gives Satan legal right to enter the darkness that's just come into our heart. So whenever somebody goes through a deliverance and they come and realize that they've done wrong and they need to repent, and if they will repent and call on the Lord, and you find somebody that knows how to act on these promises, you can get somebody delivered. But there's something you need to know about deliverance that's very, very, can be very, in other words, let me give you a caution. It can be very devastating if you don't know Matthew 12, 43 and 44. Because as I read just a few minutes ago, that when that unclean spirit goes out of a man, it goes through dry places seeking rest. And if it does not find it, then it will return to its own house from where it came. And he will not only come back by himself, but he will bring seven more spirits worse than himself. And Jesus said the second state of that person is worse than the first. Now then, the nature of an unclean spirit is by definition spiritual, not physical. It will seek a dwelling place or a house, your body, where it may rest. Now Jesus revealed that there is a dimension to human nature that actually can host an evil spirit and provide it a type of rest. It is, if that is so, let us expose the nature of man and uncover that aspect in us which can become the construction material within which a spirit might take up his dwelling place in our physical bodies. First, Let us realize that a demon cannot dwell in a true Christian spirit. Now, if you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, the demon cannot be in your spirit. But he most definitely can be in your thought life. He most definitely can be in your house. He can take up residence. Now then, the aspect of human nature which is most similar in substance and disposition to the nature of the evil one is the carnal thought life, which is a dimension of the soul or personality of man. Now, it is uniquely in our uncrucified thoughts and unsanctified attitudes that unclean spirits masking themselves as our thoughts and hiding themselves in our attitudes find access into our lives. That is something when you think about that. But Jesus said, when the unclean spirit comes, it finds its house unoccupied, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and takes along with it seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there, and the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now, if you're going to be successful in spiritual battle, your warfare must be waged according to the Word of God. For if you are ignorant of the necessity of bringing Christ into the delivered soul, there is the danger that the last state of that person might become worse than the first. Now, it's clearly said that in Matthew 12:45. Now, Christ must enter and be allowed to build his house of righteousness in the very area where Satan once dwells. Except in cases of physical affliction, deliverance should not be attempted for anyone unwilling to submit their thoughts and their thought life to the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that'll give you something to think about as a Christian. But if you're not willing to make your thought life line up with the Word of God, don't even attempt to cast a demon out of a human being, because they'll be in a worse state when that demon come back than they were when you first started with them. I'd like to invite you to call me for teaching tapes, 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. Or you can find us on the web at www.tlsm.org. Also like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We are located at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. That's right up 35E to Walnut Hill. Take Walnut Hill east 4 blocks to Shady Trail. Turn right, and we're about 300 yards down on the right. We start at 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we worship you and praise you and thank you for the living Word of the living God. We thank you, Father, that this living Word, Jesus Christ, came to this planet 2,000 years ago, that he came to show us how to live as a human being, what we could do as human beings, and what we should be doing as human beings. Lord, we worship you and we praise you and we thank you for all those wonderful examples you were and what you showed us we could do as sons of God. Lord, I praise you and thank you. Now, as the word goes out, I ask you to bless it in a mighty way today and bless everyone that hears it and reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we've been talking about the enemy. I think it's very important that we know who the enemy is and how to overcome the enemy. Now, I used to wonder why it was that so many people would not believe God's word whenever you would tell them this wonderful story that, do you know that if you would just believe in Jesus, confess him with your mouth, and believe with your heart that the Father raised him from the dead, you would be saved. You would receive eternal life. Everything in you would change. You would become a new creature in Christ, and you would be able to understand and do things on this earth that you would never be able to do before, And then when you die and leave this earth, you get to go to heaven to be with the Lord instead of going to hell to be with the devil. And people just turn and look at you and say, I'm sorry, sir, I'm not interested. And they turn and walk off. And I used to think, Lord, what is wrong with those people? And then one day, I figured it out. As I'm reading the Word of God, I found out about these strongholds and about the battleground of the mind. Now then, there is a wonderful scripture here in Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read this scripture to you, starting with verse 21. In Luke 11, 21, listen to what the Word of God says. Jesus has been talking about casting out devils and all these things in this chapter, and how they've accused him of being the devil himself. But anyway, I want to show you what Jesus said. Jesus said in Luke 11, 21, when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. Now then, I want you to think about what that's saying right there as we look at this. Before you and I were born again, you and I were the possessions of the devil. Now, Satan was like a fully armed, strong man guarding the homestead of our souls. On the day of our salvation, however, a glorious someone stronger. Who was that someone stronger? That someone stronger was the Lord Jesus Christ. He attacked and overpowered Satan and stripped away his armor. Our born-again experience may be widely varied on a natural level, but in the spirit realm, a similar war was waged and won by each of us. If we could have absolutely seen into the invisible realm, the spirit world, we would have observed the Holy Spirit working with the angels of God to destroy the enemy's first line of the defense, his armor. What exactly was this armor that protected the devil and kept us from salvation? The armor upon which demons rely consists of our own thoughts, our attitudes, and opinions which are in agreement with evil. Now, I'm telling you, what Jesus described as armor, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4, he discusses those and talks about them as strongholds. Now, before I learned about these strongholds, I did not understand why I couldn't get people saved. But when I begin to understand these things that I'm showing you today, and I begin to learn how to pull down these strongholds, then I begin to get many people saved. Now, it is extremely important to recognize that in speaking of strongholds, the apostle is addressing the church. He's talking to you and me, and he's talking about these strongholds, and it's foolish to assume that our salvation experience has eliminated all the wrong ideas and attitudes or the strongholds which are still influencing us today. Because, yes, I realize you become a new creature in Christ. The old things have passed away, and truly, new things have come. But until we are walking in the fullness of Christ, we should not assume that the process of change is over. In other words, you're going to experience change from the day you get born again. You're going to work out your own salvation with the Word of God. You're going to renew your mind daily, every day, with God's Word. And slowly but surely, one day at a time, you're going to be changed in your attitudes and your thought patterns, and you truly will begin to do away with these strongholds that the devil has put in there, and so that you will walk in obedience to God's Word. But right now, we're going to say that the foundation of our continued success in warfare comes from yielding on a day-by-day basis to the Lord Jesus Christ as He reveals these strongholds and agreeing with Him through repentance and pulling them down. It is very important to recognize that when we speak of strongholds, We are not talking about random thoughts or occasional sins. Rather, the strongholds that affect us most are those which are hidden to our thinking pattern, so that we do not recognize them nor identify them as evil. Remember, the things that Jesus revealed, he said that unclean spirits are seeking rest. The sense of rest they seek originates from being in harmony with their environment. And it's just amazing. In other words, when our thought life is in agreement with unbelief, fear, or habitual sin, the enemy has rest. And I've come to learn and come to realize that for the first 40 or 50 years of my life, I was absolutely in unbelief with the Word of God. I did. If you'd have asked me, do you believe this book? I'd have said, absolutely. I believe every word in it from Genesis to maps. But I didn't. I did not believe the promises of God's Word. I'm telling you, I didn't act on them. So if I didn't act on them, I was in unbelief. And that's where the majority of the church is. And then when something would come upon me, fear would come in, just like it came on Peter when he was walking on the water. When fear comes into you, you absolutely cannot see the Word of God work for you. And when there's any kind of a habitual sin, the enemy has rest. Now, I'm going to tell you, there is some sins in the church today that people commit that they have absolutely no remorse toward these things. They will argue with you. They will tell you these things are not wrong. And there's many different things that people do. You can read to them the Word of the Living God, where it tells you not to do these things, and these people will try their best to explain these things away. Now, one of the areas I'm going to tell you, and I know there's going to be some people out there today that's listening that I'm going to offend greatly, but I'm going to tell you, you check out what God's Word says, and you're going to find that I am telling you the truth. Now then, one of the areas that these habitual sins that so many men in many churches are committing, they're teaching another way of salvation. Now, you talk to them about this, and they'll say, I am absolutely not teaching another way of salvation. But let me explain to you what I'm talking about. First of all, let me ask you this question. How many ways of salvation are there? Well, according to the Word of God, there is only one. There is only one, and it's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But there is a group of men that belong to the church that say they're saved, that belongs to an organization that says that if you go through a ritual called the ritual of Hiram Abiff and you obtain your white apron, but because you refuse to reveal the secret name of God, which is not the name of God at all, you are worthy to be resurrected from the dead and to sit with the great architect of the universe. Now, that organization is called the Masonic Lodge. Now, I've checked this out in great detail. I probably know more about the Masonic Lodge than most Masons do because I have studied their books in such great detail. But I'm telling you, you can sit down with the average Mason and explain this to him, and he will tell you that's not true. But it is true. They go through a ritual that when they go through, it doesn't make it who you are, what type of person you are. They say, whether you're Christian, non-Christian, whatever, that if you go through the ritual of Hiram Abiff, you're now worthy to sit with the great architect of the universe. Well, folks, I'm going to tell you, the great architect of the universe they're talking about there is not God the Father. It's Satan himself. No man, no woman, no person shall ever inherit the kingdom of God except he come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these sins, these habitual sins that we commit, these things have been so hidden to these men that belong to the church truly believe they're doing right. But they're wrong, because this sin has been so hidden from them by the God of this world. Their mind has been so blinded by the god of this world, which is Satan, these men have been so deceived that they don't even believe what they're doing is wrong. I mean, I have sat down with many of these people. Many of them are doctors of theology in different denominations. And you can sit down and discuss it and show it to them in the Word of God. And they will tell you, no, that's not what that teaches. But it is what it teaches. It's teaching a lie. And the Lord tells you, you are not supposed to do that. So these are the sins that I'm talking about that's creating these problems. And the God of this world has a stronghold in your life and is preventing you from learning the truth about God's Word. Let me leave this last statement with you. There is only one way to heaven, and it is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And no man shall come to the Father in heaven except he come through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of another day, I'd like to invite you to call me for teaching tapes. And my number is 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. I'd like to invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We have church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. We would love to have you. You go up to 35E to Walnut Hill. You go east on Walnut Hill, four streets. You come to Shady Trail. You turn right or south on Shady Trail, and we're about 300 yards down on the right. We'd love to have you. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, I want to just worship you and praise you and thank you because you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and God of gods. So, Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I worship you. I worship you for the Word. I worship you that the Word is forever settled in heaven and cannot be broken. So, Lord, I thank you for this beautiful written Word. I thank you for the mighty Holy Spirit that reveals it to us. Now, Lord, as the Word goes out today, as we learn more about our enemy, and Lord, that's my objective, to teach people who you are and who our enemy is, so we can walk in accordance with your will, Father, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the words of Jesus, and not by the ways of the enemy that is completely contrary to the Word of God. So, Lord, as the Word goes out today, reveal it to us in Jesus' name. Now, yesterday we were talking about some of the different strongholds that the enemy puts into us in our thought life and how he beats up on us as Christians. And we named a few organizations and things that does that he works through to do these things. Now, any time that our thought life is in agreement with unbelief, fear, or these habitual sins, the enemy that lives in us, in the darkness, in our heart, which is Satan, and he has legal right to dwell in darkness, then he is at rest. Now then, it is absolutely significant that the process of deliverance quite often involves a season of inter-conflict and turmoil. In other words, this is a good sign. It signifies the individual's will desires to be free. In other words, we should expect a time where we must exercise our authority in Christ as we resist the devil. Because in 1 Peter, the Lord clearly told us to submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. If you don't learn how to submit yourself to God in accordance with his word and then resist the devil with the word of God, you will be tormented by these evil spirits in your being forever. You will carry them to your death. They will be here in your body. They will deceive you. They will lie to you. They will mess up your thought pattern as you go through life. And you will never be able to understand and interpret the Word of God as it is written. the Holy Spirit will be limited on what he can do because your thinking is not according to God's Word. You have these strongholds in your physical being. And so, now then, as Paul speaks of this struggle of the church, Paul tells us that we're going to go through this struggle. He talks about this. He tells us that we're going to be fighting against these principalities and powers. And there will be a period of fighting. And it will be involved in the process of pulling down strongholds, for you are breaking your agreement with a foe, which is Satan and his demons, who will absolutely fight tooth and nail to remain in your life. Now, these critters do not want to give you up. They will do everything possible to lie to you. When you pray for somebody long enough and you break the power of the devil in their life, and you can do that for anybody if you're willing to stay with it and pray and take authority over the forces of darkness, because you, as a born-again, spirit-filled son or daughter of the King of the universe, have been given complete power and authority over Satan and his demons if you're walking holy before the Lord. Now then, when you are doing this, you can break the power of the devil in these people's lives, and you can break the power of this foe, which is Satan, who is going to fight to the end to remain in these people's lives. He will do that to remain in your life. And there is a multitude of people that I know, just like I was, that was deceived with unbelief and fear. I mean, there's two realms right there, and that's just as bad as anything else. It's all sin. And I didn't realize how much unbelief I was living in. And I'm not living in near as much unbelief as I used to. But I'm sure the enemy is still deceiving me in some realms. Although, I am walking in a much greater realm now than I ever have. And the Lord continuously, every year, seems to put me to a greater test somewhere to bring me to a new level. Now, I don't know what he could do to bring me to a level above where he's brought me to now, but I'm sure he knows what he is going to do. But the last couple of years, I've had some of the greatest tests in my life that I've ever had. And so far, they have truly brought me to a new level of faith. And I have seen the Lord do some of the most awesome miracles that I have ever seen him do. He is an awesome God. Now then, while we may find comfort in being a Christian, has not made us perfect yet. Now the Lord tells us to work on this. He tells us, be ye perfect, because like your Father in heaven is perfect. And he tells us when we are perfect or complete and mature in all things, we shall do the same things that Jesus did. So, this perfection is something that obviously is obtainable because the Lord told us to do these things. But in the meantime, there are still many strongholds within us. Therefore, let us identify some of these spiritual fortresses. Rare is a Christian who is not limited by at least one of the following strongholds. And I'm going to tell you that since I've learned these particular strongholds, this one that I'm going to list first is probably the greatest enemy in the church today. And that stronghold is unbelief. You ask the average Christian, just to give you an example of what I'm talking about, a young lady called me the other day. She's been to several of my healing schools. She's heard me teach God's Word. So she called and said, Thurman, my associate pastor's, whatever she was, one of the relatives, had a baby that was born, and the child was born with a deformed brain, and the baby was going to be handicapped. She said, I want you to pray for the child. I said, well, okay, lest you and I take Matthew 18:19 right now and pray the prayer of agreement. Oh, she said, I couldn't do it. If I did, it wouldn't work. I said, ma'am, I said, look at what God's Word says. God's Word in Matthew 18:19 says, if two of us on earth agree about anything we ask him for, it shall be done for us by our Father which is in heaven. Now, what kind of a promise is that? That is an awesome promise. Now, we make sure our sins are confessed, not make sure we're not living in any kind of sin. And we take the Word of God, we come to the Father with that promise and stand on it with no unbelief in our heart. And He'll do it for us. So, but see, here she was in unbelief. She wanted me to pray the prayer of faith, but she couldn't believe she could stay in agreement with me. So I finally enticed her to pray the prayer of faith with me and stay in belief with me. So she finally did. We prayed the prayer of faith for the little child. I asked the Lord to restore that brain. In fact, I asked Him in the prayer, I said, Father, I don't know what all is wrong with this child. So from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, I ask You to restore and correct anything the enemy might have messed up. And I praise You and thank You for doing it. I said, thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. I said, it is done because it's written in Your Word. I said, do you agree with this young lady? She said, yes, I most definitely do. I said, good. Then call the people and tell them you guarantee the baby is well. But Thurman, she said, I can't guarantee it. I said, why not? God did. She said, now, wait a minute. I said, I thought you were in agreement with me. She said, well, yes, I am in agreement with you. I said, then I prayed that the Lord would heal the child. He said, anything you and I agree upon, He will do. And she said, well, yes, that's what He said. I said, then call them and tell them. So she called the family and told them that Thurman said he guarantees the baby was healed. Take it back to the doctor and check it. It would be fine. Well, that was a good start. She had some belief, but you see where we're living in unbelief. Most of us do not believe these mighty promises. So, a couple days later, they took the little child back. Now, I didn't even know about the leg, but I did ask the Father in the name of Jesus to correct everything the enemy might have messed up from the top of its little head to the bottom of its little feet. And in the process of that, it gave the Father legal right to completely restore the child. And so, the child had a messed up leg, too, that I didn't know about in the birth. So, when they took the child back, not only was the brain normal, but the leg was normal also. And I saw the senior pastor of that church the other day over in North Richland Hills, and he reassured me again. This is several months later. He said, that child is doing wonderfully well. Now, why is it that we all live in this stronghold of unbelief? To me, this has got to be one of the greatest strongholds the devil has to us. When we pray, He'll let us, now you don't really think that God would do such a wonderful thing as that for an old wicked person like you. Well, if you've got sin in your heart's going to condemn you, and you will not be able to pray that prayer of faith. So what a shame, but that's a stronghold of unbelief the devil holds in our hearts. And another one is cold love. So many people are not willing to love everybody regardless of what the circumstances is, because God is love. So you're supposed to demonstrate His love through you. You're supposed to have warm love for everybody. And fear. And pride. Unforgiveness. Lust. Greed. Or any combination of these, as well as the possibility of many others. Now, I'm going to tell you, because we excuse ourselves so readily, it is difficult to discern the areas of oppression in our lives. After all, these are our thoughts, they're our attitudes, our perceptions. We justify and defend our thoughts with the same degree of intensity with which we justify and defend ourselves. As it is written in God's mighty word, over in Proverbs 23, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So, if the devil has got a stronghold in your heart, and he has so deceived you that with that stronghold he's bound you with unbelief, cold love, fear, pride, unforgiveness, lust, greed, or any of those, if you have these strongholds in your life, you will not be able to pray the prayer of faith for people. The enemy has deceived you in many ways, and you can only get away from this by renewing your mind daily with the Word and then beginning to believe the mighty promises of God's Word. And when you begin to get to where you can believe the promises of God's Word, then you can come to Him and there will be no unbelief. So when you confess all of your sins and start walking holy before the Lord, your heart will not condemn you. Then you will know that you have the petition you ask of the Father, and you can thank Him and praise Him for your answers. I'd like to invite you to call us for teaching tapes, 940-242-2106. Also, I'd like to invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, starting at 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon. We're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle for you. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Living Savior Ministries today with Thurman Scrivener. Let's press on here today in the Word of God. Let's come to the Heavenly Father. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I worship You and praise You and thank You for the mighty Word of the Living God. I am so grateful for Your Word and for the revelation that You give us as we study Your Word. Thank You, Father, for coming to set the captive free, to save the lost, to heal the sick and the brokenhearted. I praise You and thank You that You're our King. Now, Lord, as the Word of God goes out today, I ask You to reveal it to each one of us that we may know who You are in Jesus' mighty name. Now, yesterday, we closed out with the statement, as it is written, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, because we read that in Proverbs 23. In other words, the essence of who we are is in our thought life. Now, whoever you think you are, that's who you are. So if you're thinking wrong, you need to learn how to think right. Therefore, before any deliverance can be truly accomplished in your life, we must honestly recognize and confess our need. We must stop pretending everything is all right. We must humble ourselves before God and absolutely come before the King to seek His help. Indeed, as we have said earlier in the teachings, the first stronghold that God must remove is pride. Now, the Word of God clearly says that pride goes before a fall. For until you are willing to admit that you need deliverance, you will never be free from these strongholds. Now, I think, how many times have I seen this be a reality? I've been over to talk with people that were living in sin, that wants to be free of their problem, but they're not willing to confess their sin, or not willing to repent of their sin, and to go through a deliverance. And I tell them it'll do no good to go through a deliverance until you repent of your sin. Because your sin is what's giving the devil legal right to your thought pattern or to your life. And where that darkness is, he will dwell in that darkness, and he will destroy you. In other words, as we recognize what is wrong in us, we must perceive God's standard is right. You judge everything by the Word of the Living God. Now, as we judge everything by the Word of the Living God, we see only one person in all of the Scripture that we must base everything around. Now then, the person that we need to base everything around, of course, is Jesus. Now, Jesus Christ is the model of what God considers normal for the new created man. Now, He is not just our Savior. He is the indwelling one who conforms us to His image, the firstborn of a family of glorious sons. Let us also recognize that only Jesus can be like Jesus. As we yield to Him in increasing degrees of surrender, as we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, He brings forth life that is not simply like His own, but is His very own life. Now, Christ Himself living within us fulfills God's eternal purpose, which is to make each one of us in His very own image. It is this coming forth in us of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes the weapons of our warfare mighty, which empowers us and empowers our words with authority as we pull down all these wicked strongholds from the devil. You must learn to look objectively at any thought or attitudes that fail to conform to the likeness and teachings of Jesus. Now, those thoughts must be captured and wrong attitudes crucified. We must make way in us for the coming of the Lord. We must allow the increase of His government to expand until we are so absorbed into His Spirit that we not only believe in Him, we believe Him or believe like Him, like His love, like His thoughts, like His desires, and that His desires will flow out from within us. Now then, when we seek to identify and destroy demonic strongholds, the second fortress that must be annihilated is the stronghold of unbelief. Now, this has got to be one of the worst ones that I know of. Now, it is this scheme of thinking that tells us Christ's likeness is impossible, which holds all future spiritual growth hostage. This lie of the enemy and the chains it places upon our hearts must be stripped from our lives. Accordingly, take this moment and begin to pray in your spirit. Let the Holy Spirit rise and flood your heart. If you suffer from the stronghold which says you will never be like Christ, that stronghold can begin to come down right now. Now, if you will learn to pray, and if you will pray like this, let me pray a prayer with you, that if you'll learn this prayer, you can learn how to pull down these strongholds. Now, I want you to listen. We're going to pray a prayer. Lord Jesus, I first of all submit myself to you. I declare, according to the Word of God, that because of your power to subject all things unto yourself, the weapons of my warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, because you wrote that for me in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. I repent for using the lie, I will never be like Jesus, as an excuse to sin and compromise my convictions. In Jesus' name, I renounce my flawed, sinful, old nature, and by the grace of God and the power of your Spirit, I pull down the stronghold of unbelief that exists in my mind. Now, because of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I am now a new creature in Christ. And I believe that I will go from glory to glory, being continually transformed into Christ's image as I walk with God. Now then, if you have prayed that prayer, if you believe that prayer, you have just confessed your sins and you have pulled down that old man of unbelief. Now then, start reading and filling your mind with the Word of God and start walking in belief and watch and see what God will do in your life. It's a wonderful walk. I'm telling you, I've been there and done it, and it is awesome to see what God will do when you get rid of that old stronghold or spirit of unbelief in your life. Praise the King. Now let's go on from here, and let's look at some other strongholds that may be in your life as they have been in my life, and see their origin and, more importantly, how they can be removed. First, remember that a stronghold is a thought pattern in your house or in your man. So that's what you're trying to do, is pull down these thoughts, because they are living in you, and Satan calls you his house. Now, therefore, in regard to this type of warfare, Paul explained that our success is based upon taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, that's written for you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Now, since our goal is to allow the Spirit of Christ full access into our souls, we must capture our thoughts and make those thoughts Christ's slave instead of the devil's slave. Now, to deal with the stronghold of failure, now, so many people that I know, even Christians, they go around saying, oh, I can never be successful. Well, now, see, that's a thought. That's something that Satan has put in your mind. And you must capture that thought you must make repentance a way of life. Bear in mind also that repentance means change, not merely remorse. Our thinking must change. There is so many erroneous thoughts roaming around in your mind that these things are as some of the wood, hay, and stubble the Lord talked about that are of unbelief and failure. Now, thoughts like, listen to what I've heard many people say, I will always be a failure. I just can't do anything right. It is amazing the Christians that say these kind of things. Or I'm just an old, unworthy sinner. Or I've tried walking in the Spirit and it doesn't work. And, you know, I'm telling you, until you get a hold of these things and you grab a hold of these strongholds of failure, until you kick these things out, you can never walk in the victory that you must walk in. You must capture these wrong thoughts and cast them down. First thing you want to do, you want to take that thought that I am a failure. You want to capture that thought. You want to repent of it, asking God to forgive you of your unbelief. Let your mind be renewed by the Word of God, which states, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Because that's written for you in Philippians 4:13. Even though you have failed and will probably fail again in the future, now because God is in your life, you can confidently proclaim, though I am a failure, my sufficiency comes from God, not myself. I am fully able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Arrest that thought. I am just a sinner. Don't you dare let that thought continue to run through your mind. Satan uses that. Replace that with the confession of your faith, which says, though I was a sinner, now I am a child of the King. And though I occasionally still sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all unrighteousness. And if I do need any kind of confession, I can come to 1 John 1:9 and say, because of the blood Christ's sacrifice makes, each of us makes me as pure as He is Himself. When you do this, you are tearing down a stronghold of defeat that once oppressed you, and you are beginning to replace it with the godly stronghold of faith, which is built upon the Word of the living God. With the old stronghold exposed and the thought patterns of defeat coming down, you are destroying the strongholds of failure in your life. As you continue being renewed in the spirit of your mind by the Word of God, you will begin walking in tremendous power and peace. You will enter the godly stronghold of faith and begin to see the King of the universe do great and mighty things, and as He answers your prayers. Praise the Lord Jesus. I'd like to invite you to give me a call for teaching tapes. 940-242-2106. You can get to us on the web at www.tlsm.org for a list of all of our tapes and other things. Also like to invite you to our church, the Living Savior Church, the 2 p.m. every Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4. We're at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We'd also like to invite you to our healing school. We have a healing school at the same location as church, 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. It starts at 1 p.m. the second Saturday of every month. Go to our website and you can get all the details at tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a mighty God. Serve Him whatever you do. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to our precious, wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Father, we are so grateful for Your Word. So grateful that we can know who You are. We know what You're going to do and how You're going to do it to a certain degree from Your Word. We are so grateful for the living Word of the living God. And we're so grateful for the mighty Holy Spirit to reveal it to us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to open our hearts to the and minds to the mighty word of the living God. May you reveal it to us by the Holy Spirit today. May we get great and wonderful knowledge and understanding and revelation from your word, that we may be used mightily of the King throughout this universe that we live in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Now then, I want you to recognize the fact that your attitudes, the goal and purpose of your salvation, is that you be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Is it not written? The Lord clearly says in Romans 8:29, he said, "Whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren." That means you and I are supposed to be brothers with Christ. Now, the same Lord who conquered the devil and liberated your heart in salvation is working still to renew your mind. While it is true that he is our promised land, it is also true that we are his promised land. Now, the giants within our heart, though they have withstood and humbled us, shall not withstand him, Jesus. He is the eternal Jesus, the Holy One who knows no defeat. So if we will yield ourselves to him, he can do great and mighty things in our life. But as long as we recognize that our salvation is a continual transformation and that we are changing from glory to glory, like Paul told us, into the image of Christ, we should not be discouraged by the strongholds we discover, nor will occasional or momentary setbacks or defeats render us unuseful. As we see our need, we rejoice in knowing it is only a matter of time before another giant or a stronghold is removed from our life. Now, you must stay with this in whichever one of these strongholds you have, regardless of what these strongholds are, whether the stronghold of failure or that you're just a sinner. And, oh, how many times I hear Christians say all these things. But here's the one that I think that's, well, there's so many of them that so many people use. They don't realize what comes out of their mouth. But this stronghold of fear, I'm telling you, That stronghold, it oppresses men in everything they do. Your experience tells you that if you try something new, especially in front of people, you may be embarrassed or rejected. To counter this is a whole series of reactions which emerge in your mind. You step back when you should step forward. You are silent when you should be speaking. That silent, fearful withdrawal into yourself has become your thought pattern. In other words, it's the house that lives in you, that is the devil that lives in you. It is his house, and his house is put in order or put in there because of your thoughts. He puts those thoughts in there, you yield to them, and he moves in and makes your body his house. Now then, that house or that spirit that's in there now is a spirit of fear. God does absolutely not want you to be in bondage to the spirit of fear. Therefore, let us look at some of the thoughts and experiences that may have formed the structure of this demonic fortress. There's always a reason for these things. Now, let me give you an example. And I've heard people do this to their children. I've heard them in the grocery store. I've heard people out on the job sites. I've heard all kinds of ways that, in fact, before I learned these things, I could even sit here and tell you a few things myself about the spirit of fear and how the spirit of fear came into my own daughter. I remember years ago, I had my little daughter when she was about 3, and my son was about 5, and I had him out there with me one afternoon, and I was loading up some steel to build a building with. I reached down that afternoon and picked up a piece of sea iron, and when I picked it up, there was a great big 4 or 5 foot long chicken snake under that piece of iron. When I picked it up, that snake, it scared him, and he began to flop around trying to get away. And in the process of trying to get away, he ran right toward my children. As he did, my daughter began to scream at the top of her lungs. So I took that piece of steel and jobbed it down there and got him about a foot back from the head. And then I just reached down by the tail and got him by the tail, jerked him out from under that piece of iron, popped his neck, and killed him. When I did that and threw him off out there to die, my daughter ran toward me, jumped up in my arms, and literally climbed me like a tree to the top of my head. She was literally petrified. Well, right there, that little girl got a spirit of fear. From the time she was 3 years old until she was 15 years old, she would not go outside under any condition by herself at night without her daddy with her. She was afraid of just about everything. Well, one night when she was 15 years old, my wife told me, she come down and got me up about 12:30 in the morning and said, Amanda could not sleep. I went upstairs and asked her what was wrong, and she said, Daddy, I have this fear. When she said she had that fear, the Lord spoke to me and says, she has a spirit of fear, cast it out in my name. I went over there and sat down on the side of the bed, and I commanded that spirit of fear to leave my daughter, and I loosed her from that spirit and bound that spirit into the pit of hell forever in Jesus' name. And then I asked the Father in the name of Jesus to put a spirit of love, joy, and peace in my daughter, and he did, and she went from crying to laughing, and from that day forth, that little girl never was afraid of anything else the rest of her life. She absolutely walked with no fear from that day forward. What allowed that spirit of fear to come into her? That snake, when she was 3 years old, it scared her so bad, it opened her spirit, and that demon of fear ran into her. Now then, think of some other things, like when you were a young child, when you were attempting something new, the reactions among your family or friends, was it ridicule? Was there thoughtlessness? Were there words that went so deep that in recoiling from the pain, you have involuntarily remained in the recoiled or withdrawn position? Since then, you have refused to place yourself in situations where you can become vulnerable to criticism. You may not even remember the instance, but you have not stopped recoiling even until today. Those kind of events will allow the spirit of fear to come into your life. Now, Jesus said the Father would forgive us as we forgive others. As unjust as it may seem, your reaction to what hurt you was far from the will of God, as the actions were of those who hurt you. In fact, your reaction has actually become a part of your nature. You can be delivered from that oppression of your soul by releasing and forgiving those who hurt you. You have to do this. Now, to the degree that you truly let the incident go and forgive the offender, to that same degree, God will restore your soul to a balanced and healthy attitude toward people. As you increase in this process of forgiveness, you will grow in love, and, as the Scripture says, there is no fear in love, because perfect love casts out fear, because that's written for us in 1 John 4. Now, the stronghold of fear will be replaced by the stronghold of love. Now, when you realize that unforgiveness does not destroy the other person, it destroys you. So you must recognize the fact that you must not hold unforgiveness toward other people, because it will literally bring sickness and disease and death to your doorstep, and you don't want that. Now, always remember that victory begins with the name of Jesus on our lips, but it will not be consummated until the nature of Jesus is in your heart. It is not enough to have your house swept and just put in order, like Matthew 12 says, but your thought life must be occupied by the person of the Holy Spirit, or with Christ. As you persist in yielding yourself to Christ, he will absolutely remove Satan's armor from your man. He will show you what you need to bring down. You will see that the weapons of your warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Now then, generally speaking, strongholds originate from any one of three sources. The first is the very world into which we have been born. the steady stream of information and experience that continually shaped our childhood perceptions is the greatest source of strongholds within us. The amount of love or lack of love in our home, our cultural environment, peer values and pressures, as well as fears of rejection and exposure, even our physical appearance and intelligence, all combine to form our sense of identity and our view of life. Our souls, wrought with insecurities, are highly sensitive to the criticism and compliments of others. In the search to find yourself, such words are poured into your heart like molten steel, which as they cool are fused into our nature. How many of today's adults believe they are mentally slow simply because as children, they absorbed into their self-concept the negative, thoughtless scolding of a teacher or a parent? That never ceases to amaze me. That's why we as adults, believers in Christ, we ought to continuously on a regular basis lay our hands upon the children, the little children, the bigger children in our congregations, and we should bless them in the name of Jesus. We should speak a blessing over them. We should tell those children, you are a great potential for the kingdom of God, and I bless you with good health and prosperity and long life and knowledge and wisdom. And I know that God is going to use you mightily for his kingdom. I have done that and spoke that blessings over children. And many days and months later, even years later, I have had children come back and still be able to quote that blessing that I spoke over them when they were a young person. And it has forever changed their lives. What you say makes a great impact on people. So make sure that you don't give the devil any right through what you say to put a stronghold on someone. You put a stronghold on them of the love of God so that they will be able to walk in obedience to God's mighty word. I'd like to, for you to write us, or call us rather, at 940-242-2106 for outlines, for teachings, for tapes on these subjects that we teach on. Also like to invite you out to our church, the Living Savior Church, every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go up 35 to Walnut Hill, go east on Walnut Hill, four streets to Shady Trail, turn right. We're about 300 yards on the right. Come expecting the Lord to do a miracle in your life. Praise the Lord Jesus.